How's everybody doing this morning? Bless. Good to see everybody this morning. Good to see Sister Ruth here this morning. Amen. Praise God. All right. Keep her in prayer. She has a surgery coming up on Tuesday. So we got to guide the doctors in the right way and just for her comfort and for complete healing throughout this entire thing. So definitely keep her in your prayers as well. Amen. Now, for the order of my steps, the name of this is definition or characteristic. Definition or characteristic. It's a question I think if we really sat out and asked ourselves this, is Christianity does it define you or is it just a characteristic? Think about that. Does it define you or is it just a characteristic? In many cases, you're going to find out that a lot of us just have characteristics of a Christian, but we're not being Christians. Now, we just went over a whole series on fruit to understand that you can tell by their fruit. And the only way you'll show that fruit is if you are a Christian. Now, if I have hints of being a Christian, I won't show that fruit. I may have moments where I'll do things that look like what a Christian is supposed to do. However, it won't necessarily define me. A person who truly knows me wouldn't go, well, that's Keith. Oh, that's the way he is. You know what I mean? Being a Christian and how it should fall into place. Now, the Bible tells us as a Christian, it's supposed to define you. It is not supposed to be just a characteristic. It shows us in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, it says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do. So this is covering everything. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do. That says everything in there. He says, do it all. Everybody say all. And all includes what? Everything. So he says, do it all for what? The glory of God. Right? So I have to do everything. And he took some of the most minor things, eating and drinking, and I have to do it all to glorify God. Think about it. When you drink, do you do it to glorify God? Some will go, Pastor, I don't know. I'm just, you know, thirsty and I'm just drinking something. What's the big deal? When you eat, do you do it to glorify God? Oh, Pastor, how many, you know, am I supposed to think about that? And this is where we go. We get to the point where we've taken many of the basic things in life and we just do them. We don't think anything of them. Even though he says very clearly here, whatever you do, do it to glorify him. It also shows us in Colossians 3, verse 16 through 17. it's just actually Colossians 3:17. It says, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Once again, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. That doesn't mean you just go in Jesus' name. That means you do whatever based on him, whatever represents him. Going back to eating or drinking, whatever I say, whatever I do, has to be what represents Christ. How do we do this? You may say, Pastor, how can we cover this? Well, understand this question. Does Christianity define you, or is it just one of your many attributes? If it defines you, it means it describes everything you are and live for. If it's just an attribute, it's just one characteristic out of many that describe who you are and what you live for. If I'm truly a Christian, it will describe me. It puts it in question if it's just an attribute. Do you understand this? Worldly people have Christian attributes. You notice when there's a disaster, people come together and they do stuff for their neighbors and it's a nice thing and it looks good. They show a lot of Christian attributes. But to be a Christian, even before a disaster, even when they're treating you bad, you're still displaying this. And unfortunately, even in some of those cases, Christians who once again state they're Christians fail to display that. We still display emotionally or react intellectually or culturally or ignorantly to situations instead of responding and showing what God says and living spiritually like the Bible says. So what I've done in this, I've given a chart. I've given a bunch of items. And first I'm going to show what it means to be defined. Then I'm going to show what it means if it's just a characteristic. And then see where you fall into this. First of all, everyday decisions. Now, I could have just enabled it every decision. Every decision that I make. If it defines me, you will follow Proverbs 3:5. through 8, which says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not upon your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him. You know, and that one's letting me know everything I do, I check with him. Everything. It says, in every decision is filtered through Christ. And key word, every. Okay? Even those minor ones that you think you already have figured out that you do every day, everything. You filter through him. That's when it defines you. You're still praying about things that you've done every day and have worked out every day. The same way you drive to work, the same things you do when you get up. You pray about those exact same things all the time. That's when it defines you. When it's just an attribute, along with your spiritual knowledge, you add your intelligence, your experience, and it could be your emotions. It could be your feelings. It could be what people say. It could be how that day goes. Depends on what side of the bed you get up on to make that decision. And you'll hear that. You'll hear them go, I know the Bible says, and I also think, but the way I feel and how it seems, you'll see people kind of now discovering and going through things and basically working as they think with God. I'm going to help God for me to make this decision instead of depending on God. Do y'all get this? Okay? Is that me? Is that something that you want to say? Is that something that I do? Do I 100% check with God on everything, or do I apply God when I think it's needed? It's a problem if you do that second. Let's look at another one. Your body. In today's world, we do what we want with our bodies, put anything on our bodies, eat, put anything in our bodies, react how we want with our bodies, because it's my body. I do what I want, tell me what to do, so on and so forth. However, if I follow Romans 12:1, where it tells me to present my body as a living sacrifice, pleasing and acceptable to God, you know what I mean? So in other words, it has to be just to God. Okay, you can even go further into 1 Corinthians 7, where it says, husbands, your bodies no longer belong to you, and wives, your bodies no longer belong to you. And I still hear people in relationships where the wife will go off and do what she wants with her body, her hair, her clothing, her dress, or whatever. The husband will go off and do what he wants with his hair, with his clothing, never considering the other, even though God said it, right? Bible made it very clear. A lot of stuff about our body also tells us, it says, you've given every part of what your body is used for to glorify God. Plus, you continually recognize your body is the home of the Holy Spirit, as we see in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20. So in other words, we live realizing our bodies are holy. That means how I treat my body won't be to make me feel better, won't be to look good, even those are nice things to add to it. Does that make sense? Even those are nice little extra things to add to it. We actually do things to our body because of Christ. Does everybody understand that? Because this is my temple. See, some of us will go off and work out and we'll do certain things, and if it doesn't work, we'll stop by sight. If I look at it and it's not working, I stop. However, all the ones who are following for Christ go, this is a temple of the Holy Spirit, so I'm doing it for him. So even though I may not see results that I like, or even though I'm tired of doing it, the reason why I exercise, the reason why I don't put stuff in my body, the reason why I eat right, why? Because this is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Y'all see how that works? Okay, that's just a bit of what it says about our bodies. Our bodies are to be given to him wholly. However, you do not want to please, you do what you please with your body. There are some things you'll choose to do or not to do for God, but you have the final say. That's what most do. In which, my body's still my body, and God, you should be happy if I do this. You know, somebody will go out and get a tattoo with God's name on it, thinking they did all they can for God with their bodies. Amen? We tend to use our bodies as if it's ours. Cut my hair the way I want, dress the way I want. You know, whatever I want to do is based on me. Instead of me going, well, what does God say about this? That's an attribute. How about your worship? How you worship God. In today's world, we have different varieties of churches. And here's the problem. A lot of us are looking for the most inspiring, feel-good worship, not true worship. There's a big difference. Okay? Inspiring, feel-good worship, you'll go there, you'll have a good time, you'll feel good. You'll come out of it feeling better, correct? However, is it worshiping correctly? It shows us that you are careful to worship God only based on how he says to worship him, not adding or taking away from it. John 4:23-24 says, there's going to come a time where people must worship me in spirit and in truth. He's saying must. Now, it's rare today in our worship leads and centers and things of that. Are we looking for worshiping in spirit and truth, or are we enjoying the worship? Does that make sense? Do you know what I mean? If I came in here and we could have a good time, some of us will leave out here going, man, that was a blessing. Was it? Does that make sense? You know what I mean? And that's what's happened today. We've catered more to what you want, less to what God says. I think in many cases, we really don't know what it means to worship God. We even when we did sermons on it, I think sometimes people look at it and go, I didn't know. Wait a minute. Is that what we're doing? We'll do things to make us feel good. We'll kind of express our own selves. I also put Romans 12:1 in there again, where it says to offer your body as a living sacrifice. He says this is your spiritual form of worship. So to how I live my life, worship goes beyond just being here. Y'all do know that. Worship is more than just being in church. When I go to work, I have to worship God. When I'm sitting at home, I have to worship God. How I watch television better worship God. Do y'all understand that? So it's going to be based on him. He doesn't look at some one event you go to every once in a while and call that worship. Worship, praise, all of that should happen all the time. Amen? All right. Your relationships. Well, as you know, I have on the other side, I'm going up for worship. It says your worship, you worship God your way when you want. It's usually more emotionally made and done using different ideas. And that's why today worship has so many different feelings and so many different things. And then people go, oh, where'd you get that from? I like that. But instead of going, where'd you get that from? Where's that at in the Bible? Let's follow and do it the right way. Remember, God is sacred. And if you go back in the Old Testament, and this is why it's so important for us to kind of study and read that at times, is because it showed us what happened when the people of Israel would go to other places. They would see how these other people would worship their gods and go, I'm going to worship my God that way. I want to do it that way. Let me show you something. Just give you an understanding of how God feels that way. There's one in, for the sake of time, it's one in Deuteronomy, and if you get a chance, you can find it, where he basically says, when you go to another place and you see how they worship a God, and you say to yourself, I'm going to worship my God that way. Now, if you listen to the statement, it sounds innocent. It sounds like, but I like what they do. I want to use that for my God. He's saying, do not do that. God made very clear. He says, it's an abomination to me. And unfortunately, we've done that in today. A lot of ways we worship God are based on what other people have done. You'll see people honoring it that way. I told you the time when I was in school, and one thing how the Muslims will do sometimes is they'll put their rugs down and they'll portray and they'll show how they're going to pray to God, and it's displayed. And I heard another Christian go, you know what, why aren't we doing that? We should be doing that. However, we know that in Matthew it says, no, I'm supposed to pray in a secret place. Mine is not to be flashy. But emotionally, you saw somebody look at this and go, I'm going to do that. So then it almost became a competition. Not based on God, but based on what somebody's seen. Do y'all see how this works? Worship has to be based on God. His instruction and his guidance gives us everything we need on how to do it correctly to truly honor him. Your relationships. You diligently follow passages such as Ephesians 5, which gives details of Christian relationships and roles. It's very hard because you do not see a marriage with children, friendships, our work relationships, you do not see them based on the Bible. You do not see it. I'm saying as Christians, we are not doing it in that way. It's heartbreaking because it's something that you look at and you're like, how come we know this, but we're not doing this? Amen? It's very rare that you even see the attributes of it. As I have under attributes, it says your relationships are based on you and how you feel. You may reference the Bible for guidance, but in the end, it's how you feel about it. You know how many times I have relationships where the couples come to me and the spouse is able to tell me in the Bible what the other one is supposed to do. Right? And then you have to come back. Yep, you're absolutely right. Let's look at what you're supposed to do. Well, yeah, I know I'm supposed to do this. What's going on? Yeah, I got to work on that. But wait. You're bashing the other person. Aren't you supposed to be responsible for you? Right? Well, I don't want to hear that. I want you to yell at them for what they're not doing. That's not how it works. Do y'all get this? A relationship, God gives me the instruction on what I'm supposed to do. He says, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Now, I have to be responsible for that. I can't go, why aren't you being, you know, submissive to me as unto the Lord? You understand that? I can't beat her up for what she's not doing. I have to be straight of what I'm responsible for doing. Does this make sense? Every relationship has to be based on him, looking to him, being guided by him. As it says, your relationships are based on you and how you feel. You may reference the Bible for guidance, but in the end, it's about how you feel. That's dangerous. It should not be that way, and we have to be very careful. Just a lot of people raise their kids in that way, and we get into the point where kids are coming out these emotional wrecks at times because we're going with how they feel, not what he says. More and more we have this setting in which we have this, well, they know better. Oh, they know what they're doing. I go through the Word, and I'm not going to lie, as my kids were growing up, I felt the same way. But the more I looked in the Word, I didn't see us to take that into consideration. When it says, fathers, do not exasperate your children, it's not based on how they feel. It's based on what I'm doing. It has to be based on God. And it's letting, as a father, I can't raise my child based on emotion and on God. Does that make sense? I can't get mad at them because I'm having a bad day. I have to be consistent, but I have to be careful. I have to show love. I have to be patient. Do you understand that? I got to do all these things. But when I start allowing like we do today, then we over-medicate them. We over-accept. We allow them to go through things. And they grow up to be disturbed adults. And then they get away from God. Does that make sense? And this is a pattern that's going on. This is why less and less people are growing up and leaving God for the fact of because we're not engaging them with God the way God says to engage them with God. Just because you have this nice little story about God that you tell your children is not helping when he already gave us instructions on how to introduce them to God. The best way to introduce our family to God is do what God says. Amen? When I have the right relationship of God with them, I'm introducing them to God. Employment. When you do your job, it's following Ephesians 6, 5 through 8. That shows who, if you're a manager, and that shows if you're the employee. It shows both cases as if you're working for the Lord. A lot of us separate our jobs from our Christianity. I'm not going to let them talk to me that way. I'm not doing that because that's stupid. I'm doing what I want to do. Amen? There are some people that know you're getting paid for 8 hours, and you probably work maybe 2.5 and get mad when they ask you to work the other half or something, right? We're not going to say that, right? But do you understand that? We tend to struggle with what our jobs are telling us to do. We sign up for a job, we're gung-ho to get the job, and then once we get the job, we hate the job, and we walk around with an attitude. Or how about those who are managers? You get this title and everything, and you're lording it over your staff. Why? Because I'm a manager. I got to show them why. I'm just going to do this to let them know I'm in control, that I'm the boss. It lets us know very clearly in our employment, there is a relationship, and how I am in that relationship in the workplace is what represents my relationship with God. I recognize my boss is my boss. I don't care if they're younger than me. I don't care if what I think they're doing is wrong. As long as they're not telling me to do something against God, what would you like me to do? Got it. Do you understand that? It isn't me going, they don't know what they're talking about. I'm going to do my own thing. If I was in their position, I would be doing this. Even if you were right, you have to answer to God. Do y'all get this? When it's just an attribute, work to advance to get the highest point of your career, thanking God along the way. See, a lot of us are happy as long as I keep getting promotions, as long as I look good, as long as I make a lot of money. And then we'll go, I give God the glory. Really, you're not. You're saying you do, but really, you're not. Please don't mistake a promotion as being God's agreement with how you are in your job. Don't make that mistake. Do you understand that? Okay, remember, it's not about the output. It's not about the outcome. It's about the output. It's about how you are living for him. You do have to answer to him for everything that you do. Let's look at our money. How do we deal with our money? Does it define or is it just natural? First of all, you recognize God as the source. Everybody say the source. Okay, and everything comes from him. Now, I say that because like in Deuteronomy 8, 10 through 20, he told the Israelites, y'all going to go to this place. You're going to do very well. Basic. I'm putting this in my own, paraphrasing in my own words. He's saying, things are going to look good. Don't get stuck saying, I did this. Make sure you know where it came from. Make sure you recognize, you understand it came from God. Okay? Now, understand, people get successful today, and it still becomes because of me, because of my education, because of my hard work, because of what I did, because of, you're already in the wrong track the minute you go that path. minute you go that path, because you feel entitled. You feel that I deserved it. So then how you manage your money will be based on you. In fact, many people who tithe and offer think they're doing God a favor. Okay? He'd rather you keep it. All right? He'd rather you say, nope, nope, take it, spend it on yourself, enjoy. Okay? Because we are not doing God a favor. He lets us know how I deal with my money directly reflects how I totally trust in God. 2 Corinthians 9:6-8, that's why he says those who give sparingly will receive sparingly. Those who give generously will receive generously. He's letting you know that if I then make up my mind to say to God, I'll give him a little bit. God's like, nope, keep it. Like the woman who gave her final, she was basically saying, he's my provider. So I'm going to give it all to him because he provides for me. People who usually give in their wealth budget, so they give just enough so it doesn't hurt their budget. Keep it. Y'all get this? He's saying, are you really trusting in me? And he's not caught up on, he doesn't have an accountant up in heaven going, all right, wait, so you're supposed to give 10, so you're supposed to give, you know, and you hear the machine go, no, it's not that way. It has nothing to do with that where he's adding things up. He's looking at the heart, your purpose. When you give, your purpose is saying to him, I'm giving because he's my provider. When you do it based on numbers and adding this and that, you'll go, well, I only have this much, so this week I'll give this, and I'll give more next month, and I'll give, keep it. Do y'all get this? You understand this? When it defines me, it'll be because of him based on what his word says. When it's just an attribute, I place giving to God in my budget, and I give when I can. I make sure other more important things get taken care of first. Amen? You know, I got to pay my bills, got to pay this first, taxes got to go first. All that's first because they are first. God, don't worry, I'll get you covered somehow. Maybe next week, right? Because he doesn't call you. He doesn't send you a letter that changes colors or anything like that, right? All right? So you're like, so, you know, God, it's okay. Instead of realizing, wait, I wouldn't be able to pay any of this without God. I don't care what your degree is. I don't care what your name is. I don't care who you know. You wouldn't be able to do anything if God says stop right now. Do y'all get this? He can say stop. Don't let him get anything. And you wouldn't budge. I don't care how hard you tried. And the thing about it is us recognizing that is so important. But when I get puffed up in me thinking it comes from me, then that becomes a danger. How about our priorities? First of all, if I'm defined, no matter the situation, God is always, everybody say always, the purpose. Matthew 6:32-34 gives us examples of that. And we see in 1 Corinthians 10:31 where it shows us that God is always why I do things. Now, why I'm stressing always is because in your life you have, probably are, and will be going through some things that are testing you. Now, think about it. You had crossroads. Something happened in your life where if you did this thing over here, it may have even fixed what you were going through. However, it was wrong based on what the Bible said. But if you did this thing over here, it probably didn't fix it, but it was following exactly what God said. Do y'all get where I'm going with this? Abraham, he had his child here, only child, I mean, other than Ishmael, but the child of promise that he's been waiting for all this time, and he's told, go kill your child. Crossroad. He could have said, nah, God, I waited too long. You're going to have to understand, I can't do that. Now he would still have his child as far as he's concerned. Everything would have worked. Right? And that's wrong, of course. And he would have gone the wrong way. And we do the same thing. By sight, if I do this over here, it'll work. And a lot of us are doing that. We know what the Bible says over here, but when I did this, it worked. Haven't we done that? Pastor, when I did this, it worked. You know how many times I'm heard when somebody comes and they try to convince me with a sight over faith. I did this thing here, and it worked. And I'm going, okay, amen. And they're like, I know the Bible says this, but when I did this, it worked. Why does he tell us to walk by faith, not by sight? Because sight is going to look like it works, while faith is the right way. So priorities will be 100% for God, only because God said so. It'll always be my answer. However, if it's just an attribute with multiple purposes in my life, family, work, happiness, etc., I consider God only when I think it benefits me. So who's the God there? Me. Now, I'll pat myself on the back because I consider God. I'll pray to God when it comes in handy. And I pray to God when I'm saying to God, God, I'm going to do this thing over here, and I just want your blessings as I'm doing this thing over here, even though you told me not to do this thing over here. That's what your prayers really say. It don't sound like that, I know. But that's exactly what we're doing sometimes. When I'm doing something that I know the word says no, clearly, you already know the answer to it. But by sight, man, it'll be the better thing. While by faith, you know it's wrong. Priorities always has to be God. Two more. What you depend on. What you depend on. Now, if I'm defined by Christianity, I depend on God by checking with him for everything. Everybody say everything. And realize any talent and experience I have is because of him. Every. You understand this? Now, it's easier for people who have to work harder for their talent if you guide them in the right way. Do you understand? But when somebody has this naturally born talent, sometimes they feel as though something special about them. But even when we work hard, we think there's something special about us because we worked hard. Either which way, we think it's about us. I can tell you right now, you can work one day and God can make you a supreme, outstanding whatever. You can not do anything and be like Samson. Samson didn't lift weight one, and he was the strongest man at that time. Do y'all get this? However, you can work as hard as you want and get absolutely nowhere based on God. Does everybody get that? Okay? If it's his will. When you depend on him, you accept his answer. We see in 2 Corinthians 12, 9, we also see that in Deuteronomy 8, like I talked about earlier, 10 through 18, where it shows he's letting the people know and giving an understanding of, if I don't recognize where my source or my strength comes from, I'm setting myself up. Satan will love you to build you up, only to let you go. And that's what happens to a lot of people. Later on in their life, they hit this rock bottom. I've seen people when they retire or when the job changes or when they get older, and then they just feel, how come I'm not getting picked? How come I'm? How come I'm? And I used to. And you'll hear them with this, and they're frustrated and they're angry, and then they're even angry at God. God's like, because you didn't consider me. You did this all your life as far as you were concerned. You had this covered. You took care of this. Take care of it now. Make sense? Do y'all see this? When I depend on him, I'm going to depend on him from the beginning until the end. That's where it defines you. However, when it's just an attribute, though I thank God, I give credit to my talent and experience for my life and my success, I go to God when those seem to fail me. So in other words, God's a backup plan. He is not my purpose. It's not my reason. That's when it's just an attribute. And that's, once again, that's more common. And the last one, love, the most dangerous one, because we rarely see true love nowadays. You rarely see true love. 1 Corinthians 13 shows that love is controlled and defined by God, not emotions. You hear me say that all the time, okay? Many of us still allow our emotions and feelings to lead us, and we call it love. Amen? You meet somebody, and you know everything that the Bible says about your relationship is no. And your answer will be, but I love them. Do you understand that? Now, if you understand what love is, you're basically saying, God, I'm going to choose to love them above you. Remember he says, love your mother or father more than me. You're not worthy of me. You love your son or daughter more. You're saying, God, I'm going to accept them above you. And it's usually a mixture of ignorance and selfishness. The ignorance of you really don't know what love is because you have this emotional feeling that's building up in you. And that's why you're calling love. And the selfishness is, but it's what I want. So why can't I have what I want? And God's saying, okay, go ahead. See how that works out for you. Do y'all get this? Love is something that you are in complete control of despite how you feel. The verse when it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, is a command. It didn't say nothing about how I feel. It's a command of what I'm choosing to do. Does that make sense? When he tells you to love your enemies, how many of you go, I got to go make friends with them so I can learn how to like them? Care less if you like them, but you better love them. Do y'all get this? They are your enemies. He fully understands that. He's saying, I'll take care of that part if you truly trust him. You'll go, I'm not worried about that because God will take care of that. And you'll love them. But when you see somebody retaliate, still have an attitude, you're saying, God, you don't know what you're doing. You're saying, God, I don't trust you. God, I'll take care of it. Not realizing, you do know after that I have to take care of you then. Did y'all catch that? Love is fully controlled by him. And it's an action, not a feeling. You don't just say to each other, I love you. You display love. And the Bible shows us how. Now, when a person is just an attribute of love, it says, my emotions tell me if I'm in love and how to love. I will say I love you, family and friends, but I'll do it my way. All right? See, Jesus says, if you love me, you'll do what I command. Some of us think, just because I went to church, I love Christ. I've heard people say that. He knows me. I don't have to go to church to show him I love him. I heard him say that. Okay. Sounds good. All right. You understand that? We make up these things because they sound good in our minds when it comes to God. And he's going to say, but I never knew you. He gave us the answer. Why are we creating our own? So, how do we get into the way to make Christianity define us and not just an attribute? Well, let's stop making Christ just a part of our lives and let's make him our lives. Make him our lives. Colossians 3, 1-4 says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above. Your heart is your what? Your purpose. So first of all, he's saying set your purpose on heavenly things, on God. Set, and the key word is set. In other words, lock them in. Make sure I am living for Christ. You have to wake up every day going, I am living for Christ. Please remember that, because there's other ideas and activities and exciting things are going to come to your mind, but you have to go, no, I am living for Christ. So it'll always make you look at every situation and go, how is this going to serve what I'm living for, which is Christ? Does that make sense? To add an example to that, let's say a promotion came up at my job. Now I can pursue that promotion. All right? Nothing wrong with that. It just can't be the purpose. I'll go, I'm going to go for this promotion, but I'm doing it to serve Christ. That means if any path going towards that promotion does anything to hinder Christ, promotion's not mine. You'll see me bail out, back out with no problem. I'll have no problem. Nope, can't do it. But Keith, we think it's you and it's perfect for you. No, I'm sorry, can't do it. Y'all see, it'll be no problem. Why? Because your focus is Christ, not the promotion. It'll be same thing with a relationship. You meet somebody, you like them, you laugh, you have a good time, you go through it. The person goes, well, I really don't believe in God. I believe in a higher power, so on and so forth. Oh, immediately, you go, well, we could be friends. And that has to end there. Not, but I think I can work them. I'll force them to go to church. I'll throw some Bibles at them. I'll have the pastor talk to them. Y'all get where I'm going with this? You'll know it immediately. You'll go, oh. You see how that works? It'll be immediately where you'll recognize, because your heart and your purpose is Christ, and you're like, oh, automatically, we'll be unequally yoked. Automatically, you could pull me astray. Automatically, oh, we have a problem. I may feel a certain way, but I have to disconnect. So I got to set my heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, as set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. As your heart is your purpose, your mind is your path. Or the direction you're going to take. Always think about that. Your mind is the things you're going to do, how you're going to do it. So when it says set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, so then my focus and how I do things is now based on him. Not just what I do, how I do it. You understand? My mind is, let me see what Christ, how Christ wants me to handle this. So I'll do things, but I'll do it patiently. I'll do it with love. I'll do it understanding I represent him. Y'all get this? I understand I got to get me out the way, right? There's, like I said, there was a situation where somebody needed to talk to somebody, and it was very important. The things they had to say to this person was 100% right, what they were saying. However, remember that whole thing about the plank? You know what I mean? I've been there. You know, I had to say to somebody, and I remembered it, but I have this plank I got to remove my mind. So the thing is, that needs to be said to them. You got to remove the plank in order to tell them. Many times you'll hear people say things about other people, and they're 100% right. Don't get me wrong, but they got a plank. You're sitting there going, so you're going to tell them this? Because all they're going to hear is, I can't believe you're telling me this. Seriously, you're telling me this? Right? However, when you approach them with the attitude of, let me tell you my mess. Let me tell you how messed up I am. Let me tell you what I'm working on. Maybe you can help me. And after you kind of spill yourself out and you put all that out there, and you go, now, there's a concern I have. Maybe I can help you. Did you see what I just did there? They realize it's not me coming at them based on me. It's me saying, I have mess. You have mess. Let's help clean it up. Amen? Let's get each other out the way. And it actually makes you clear to help other people when you do it. That's when you set your mind on things. Because I'm focused on God. Every time I focus on God, it immediately brings it back to, Keith, you're messed up as everybody else. Does that make sense? I can never approach anybody with, like, you know you're not supposed to be doing this, and I wish you'd stop because you make me angry. Because then I go to God going, what about you, Keith? And I'm like, oh, right? Then I have to come back and go, you making me angry is meaningless because I'm making somebody else angry. You getting on my nerves is meaningless because I know I'm getting on somebody else's nerve. Do you understand this? I'm messing up just like you. What can we do to fix it based on God? How can we help each other? Right? That's setting your mind on things above, not on earthly things. It says, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God, when Christ, who is your life, did y'all see that? Didn't say a part of your life. It says, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Let's make it our mission to live a life that is defined by Christianity and not just show signs of Christianity. Amen? All right.